We are so glad that you're here with us for the series, The Lies We Believe. And whether we're here in Waukesha or in Muskego or Waterford Campus or watching online, one of the things that we just want to continue to keep in front of us is this big idea that the series shares with us. And that's this, the reminder that a lie holds the power of truth in our lives as long as it's believed. That begs this question. So how do I know? How do I know whether what I'm believing or not to be true is actually true or not? Now, unless Morpheus from the Matrix has come up to you personally and offered you, do you want the blue pill or do you want the red pill? Jesus speaks to us and helps us to be able to answer the question, is this true or not? And he gives us three tests just to be able to apply to that which we're believing. Let me just share these with us real quickly. The first one is this. He said, test what you believe against the word of God. His words were, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And this is fascinating when he said it. The word sanctify means set apart, or it means to put in the place that it's intended to be. It's the place that you want something to be, the place in life that you want to be able to be. And this was his prayer to God, that people would be able to find the right place that they're meant to be through the Word of God. The second test that we apply is the Spirit of God. Jesus said when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide us into all truth. So the first test, we're reminded this, how important it is for us to be in the Word of God, to be learning the Bible, to continue to keep ourselves there, the value of that. The Spirit of God is to keep ourselves tender to God, open to God, yielded to what he wants to be able to be doing and communicating us in life right now. Which brings us to the third test, which would be this. Leverage wise counsel. Without good direction, people lose their way. But the more counsel you follow, the better your chances. Most of us would be able to say yes to that. The more wise counsel that we've gotten in our lives, the better the opportunity that we had to bring to pass what we were hoping to get to the place that we wanted to be, to protect ourselves from some pretty big screw-ups that were going on. So when we engage in the Bible, keep ourselves tender to the Holy Spirit, if we are in a place, we have a group of people around us, wise counsels, godly counsels, we're able to discern, is what I'm choosing, this thought that I'm believing, is it true or not? So that said, we come to our lie of the week. That kind of cracked me up. It was like, sounds like the flavor of the day, the lie of the week. What's the lie of the week? This lie of the week happens to be one of the more insidious ones. This is one of the devil's go-to lies that he would use to upset or disrupt relationship with God, maybe more than any other one. And the lie is this, that God doesn't care. He just doesn't care. God doesn't care. You can take it a couple ways. God doesn't care what you do. God doesn't care how you live. Or God just doesn't care about you. What I want to do is touch on the first, because it's important, but then focus on the second. This matter, the lie that would say that God doesn't care what I do, God doesn't care how I live. You know, the only thing that really matters to God is this, is that you believe. The only thing that really matters to God is if you receive Jesus, then he's good, you're good, and he'll see you in heaven someday. You know, we think about God at times like, kind of like our heavenly grandpa. And grandpa just kind of looks down on us when he happens to see us, our paths happen to cross. If you're happy, then he's happy. If you're good, if you're comfortable with the decision that you're making, then he's good with that decision too. Because we think God is just so busy, how could he really care about what I'm doing, right? E! Online, so Entertainment Online, Entertainment Weekly, just blew up last week. I mean, it was like they were blowing a gasket when they found out just from an interview that Russell Wilson did. That just happened, right? It's like, with my girlfriend Sierra, we are not having sex. And so here's what E! Put up there. They go like, Russell Wilson is a better person than you because he's not having sex with Sierra. They just couldn't believe it. Now, Russell Wilson never intimated that he's a better person, but in the interview that he's doing out at the Rock Church, he simply said, this is, as a Christian, what we are, you know, what we're doing. And so E just kind of goes off on that. But here's where they really started to lose it more. They were going like, really? Do you think God really cares what Russell Wilson does or doesn't do? I mean, isn't God busy running the entire universe? He's got much more important things to think about, to deal with, than what a person is doing in their life. You may have thought that from time to time. But here's the truth, that God does care. God cares what we do. God cares how we live. In fact, there is a truth that just threads its way through Jesus' teaching and on throughout the rest of the New Testament that reminds us about what we're doing in life now actually having an impact with regards to eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us this, that we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, that is, in this lifetime, whether good or bad. Now, very important to point out, for we, who's the we? A we is a Christian. So if you've received Jesus, then that would be you. The Bible isn't saying how you live your life determines whether you get into heaven or not. In fact, it's very, very clear. You don't get to heaven on good works, doing it, you know, your good works outweighing your bad works. Nobody gets in that way. But for those that have received the grace of God that comes through Jesus, those that are on the inside of the gates of heaven, you're on the inside of heaven, Jesus is simply reminding us that every one of us is going to have an appointment with him. And in this appointment, whether we stand, whether we kneel, when we're before Jesus, he's just going to review our life. How did we use the gift of life that was given to us? What were our choices? The motives that were behind our choices? Now, Jesus said, my intent in doing this is so that you can be blessed. You can be rewarded for the things that you have done that have honored God, the way that you have lived your life in a way that he's intended for you to be able to do. That's his desire. And he said, what we're doing now in life is actually going to have eternal ramifications. It's a really important reminder that he gives to us. So as we live, does it matter how I live today? Yeah, it does matter. Does God care? Yes, because that's going to bring me to the next one, because he cares about us. Here's what we want to focus today. The lie says that God doesn't care about me. God doesn't care about what's going on inside me. God doesn't care about the things that I have to deal with in my life. Whether he's busy, whether he's indifferent, he just doesn't care about me. This is an interesting point here. In fact, I even put this down into our handout notes, kind of a little insight. We don't struggle with this lie. We don't believe this lie when things are going well. Here's what I mean. If I were to ask today, how many would be able to say that you feel blessed in your life at this point? That you feel blessed by God at this point? Can I just ask the question? How many days say, I feel blessed by God today? That's where I'm at. Okay, great. Okay, good. Now, if I followed up and said, how many of you that feel blessed in your life right now believe that God cares about you? Can I see your hands? Right. Everybody, I'm blessed. I feel like God, yeah, God does care. But then comes these words, one of two words that can creep in. I believe God cared until. If I believe God cared until this happened. And now I doubt it. Or now I don't believe that anymore. When we start to say, if God really cared, then I wouldn't be in the problems that I wouldn't be suffering the way that I'm suffering. I wouldn't have to deal with what it is that I have to do if God really cared about me. Brittany was willing to share part of the journey that she's on, kind of a process through the until moment that it happens and where she's at with that right now. I hope it helps you like it's helped me. Check this out.
When the illness had happened and I got sick and I couldn't control what was happening to me, a lot of anger was coming out of me. I couldn't make myself feel better. I couldn't make myself be able to work or do any of that. And I was so angry that at one point, I'd thrown my favorite mug across the kitchen. I was just so upset and I was so angry that God wasn't fixing this. And I realized that I didn't like being out of control because that meant I wasn't safe. And I realized I had to understand God being sovereign and in control, and is that a good thing? And if that is a good thing, then help. Help me see that. I ended up having to leave my career, lost financial income, lost just kind of that security. And for 3 years, I had no idea why I was sick. I saw 10 different doctors, medical doctors, chiropractors, and no one could really give me answers. And it wasn't until about a year ago that I started seeing an endocrinologist, and she had said, we need to rule out Cushing's disease. Now that's a disease that about 3 in every 1,000,000 people get, and it's where the body makes too much cortisol, and it's caused by a tumor somewhere in the body that makes too much of the hormone ACTH, and it's usually most often on the pituitary gland, and that's where she thinks kind of the direction that we're going. Nothing's for sure right now, we're just on that road. Initially, when I first got sick, because of the intensity of like the mood swings and just the intensity of how quickly this changed my life and turned it upside down, I was forced to be in a position every day of like laying on the floor. I had so much back pain, and all I could do was read God's word and spend time with Him. So eventually I realized I've been given this gift of time with Him. I kept hearing people say, I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time with Him. And I realized I have time, and this is a gift. And I realized a lot of the stuff that was coming out of me was already inside of me. It wasn't because of the situation. It's because that's what was already there. And so He was using this situation to draw that out, and that too helped me trust Him even more with it, because He knew what He was doing. The healing is painful because you're feeling what's hurting you. But when God's hand is on it and when you're seeking Him in it, there's a peace and there's an encouragement to keep going. It's like a little bit of it just keeps getting lighter and lighter and lighter, and you're getting closer and closer and closer to seeing the other side of it. And eventually you get to that point where you're on the other side of it and it just comes natural to you to have that joy, to have that peace. And even though I can't see everything and I don't know where it's going, but I can trust. It just takes all that burden and all that weight and all that pressure off of me to have to figure out how things are supposed to go. And got so much to a point where I didn't want to be in control. And even sometimes where I still saw myself like going towards that direction, I just couldn't because I didn't want it anymore. And when I realized how well He knows me and how deeply and intimately I'm known, how could I not trust Him?
It's a powerful story, isn't it? Would you join me in thanking Brittany for her willingness to open up, to share those things with us? Let me ask you, what's your until? Did you believe that God cared until you got sick, that you got the diagnosis, that you were served papers, that you were betrayed, that you lost your job, that you were brought into court and wrongfully ruled against, that you had a child die, that you had a spouse die? You believed that God cared until that happened. What is it that has you believing the lie today? If God really cared, then this wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be having to deal with this. This suffering wouldn't be as bad as what it is in my life. Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote several years ago right now a book. You may be familiar with the title of it. It was called Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. I mean, you hear that? Yeah, I may not have read it, but I mean, like, it just, you know, just kind of stands out. And in this book, he hypothesizes. He says, logically, we have to come to one of two conclusions. And ultimately, he's going to give you one of two poisons, and you can pick whichever one it wants. But here's why. Let me explain why bad things happen to good people. It's either because, number one, God cares, that is, he's good, but he's not sovereign. That is, he's not in control. I mean, God started things, but he's not in control of how things are working right now. He really cares about you, but he's not in control, so he doesn't have really the power to make it different or to change it or take it away. Or he said, logically, you can conclude that God is sovereign. He's in control. He can do what he wants to. He just doesn't care. Doesn't care about you, and that's why things are going on in your life. He's just detached from you that way. You know, as I said, if you choose to take either of the poisons, he cares, but he's not in control. He's in control, but he doesn't care. I'll tell you where your relationship with God is going. It's going just like this, and it's going like that fast. Because here's the truth. The truth is he cares. In fact, Jesus said, and as he moved us into it, he said, first of all, I want you to know this, that God knows. He knows what's going on in your life. In fact, when Jesus was asked this question, he brought it down to this kind of an intimate detail. He said, indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. In other words, God knows the number of hairs on your head. If God knows that, he knows what's going on in your life, right? Now think about that. You take a head of hair like this, you go like, how many hairs are on a head like that? I mean, we take a guess? Yeah. Somewhere between 100, 125,000 hairs on the human head that way. And God knows every single, what your count of that is. Now, some of you make it easier on the counting than others, right? Like, God's like, oh, that's the easy one. God knows not just what's on your head, but what's on your face. Now think about that. If God knows the number of hairs on that beard, and the average beard's around 20,000, but this one, who could tell? Where one started, I mean, that is the sovereignty of God, just to be able to know the answer to that question. But when God knows that, he knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. Now, why did Jesus set it up so strongly? Because he then brings this home, and that he cares. If you have your Bible, I want you to take it right now and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, you can grab the Pew Bible and follow along with us on page 1892. If you have your Bible, I guarantee you're going to want to take a couple notes today. You're probably going to put a couple big circles in your Bible. You'll probably want to write this reference, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, in the front of your Bible, because this is a place that you're going to be returning to. It's a place that you're going to be taking friends to in their time of need as well. For using your electronic Bibles, make sure your editing features are turned on. And let's take a look at this together. This is a lesson that Peter learned, was re-communicated to him, and he never, ever, ever stopped sharing it. Verse 7 says, casting all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, if you look up at the screen with me for just a second, keep your Bible open. You'll see I put it up here this way. Cast all of your care on him because he cares for you. Now, the reason I did this is because this word and this word, the original language, are the exact same words. Now, if you ask, why would a translator put anxiety in there if it's the same word as cares here? Well, translators are a lot like writers or authors. And they feel at times that if you use the same word over and over again, repetitious, that that's just not good writing. So they vary the words so that it is more interesting, you know, kind of keeps you engaged that way. I think it's important for us to recognize these two things. These are one and the same. To cast, it is what our cares are. And I'll kind of open that word up in a moment or two. But to do that, because God cares. God cares about the care that's in your life. God cares for you. One thing that no one ever accused Jesus of, not his enemies, not anyone, was this, that you don't care. You don't care about people. You don't care about these people. You don't care about the up and out. You don't care about the down and out. You don't care about the sinner. You don't care about the righteous. You don't care. Nobody ever accused him of not caring about any of those, because to meet Jesus was to come face to face with this realization that I care. So, Peter, having established this, now says in essence this. Now let's talk about your life. Let's talk about what's going on in you. So we read on. We come to verse 10. It says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be power forever and ever. Amen." In other words, and don't forget that God is sovereign in everything he's doing in all this as well. Now, in verse 10, let me just kind of break it down and open it up together. You might want to note a couple things here in your Bible. We start out this way, the God of all grace. The one thing that Peter would always go back to with his Heavenly Father, with what Jesus had taught him about God Almighty, was this, that he is the God of grace. That he is the one that grace flows from. That he is the one that is the one that is continually giving us grace in our life. Peter, the one who had messed up so many times in his life. Peter, the one who had betrayed Jesus. Peter was the one that goofed up later, you know, as he was just trying to do his best in helping the church to move forward too. Was a person that realized, I am a continual recipient of grace. I needed it to come to Jesus. I needed it when I was, you know, saved or born again. But I've needed it ever since in my life as well. And it's this God, the God of all grace, that we're talking about here, that we're continually being brought back to. The God of all grace, this next phrase, after you have suffered a little while. That's where we live, right? The reality, yes, God is the God of grace. Yes, God is the sovereign one. And yes, there is suffering in our life. And he says, after you've suffered a little while. Now, this is important. Remember, this is God's perspective. Our perspective never puts a little while and suffering together. When you are suffering, it, you know, it's like, it's way too long. Any amount is there, but from God's perspective, which is this, I see the suffering you're going through, and though my heart aches for you, though I've got grace for you in it, I see what comes after the suffering. And in perspective, when you will be looking back, when you have my perspective, you will say after you've suffered a little while, that now the God of all grace himself will do this. He himself will restore you. That term, restore, is a medical term. It's a term that was used when a bone was broken and it needed to be reset. The word for resetting the bone is the same term that's used here, to restore you. So this is talking about healing. That which is broken in our lives, the God of grace himself, not an angel, not a messenger, not a human agent, he himself will be one bringing about healing within us. And the God of all grace will himself make you strong. This term is bringing us back to he will give you strength. If you've ever used these words, I just can't go on. In fact, anybody ever felt that way? I just can't go on. I'm just totally spent. Yes? If you've felt that way, I can't go on. I don't have the strength. I don't have the emotional strength. I don't have the spiritual strength. I don't have the psychological strength. I just don't have the physical strength. I'm just done. It's at that time God said that he himself will give us the strength that we need to go on. The strength to be able to go through today with his grace and by his grace, he will give us the strength to continue to move forward, to continue to do what he's asked us to do. And the God of all grace himself will give to us this firm and steadfastness. What he's talking about here is a foundation. an anchor point that we're not going to be able to be pulled from. Peter's probably thinking about what Jesus initially said. One of the first messages Peter ever heard Jesus talk about. At the end, he used these words, and he that hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man, wise man, who built his house on a rock. And Jesus said, and the rains came, and the winds blew, and the storms beat upon the house. And that happens in every single person's life. But Jesus said, and the house stood because it was founded on the rock. That's what God is speaking to here. I will put this foundation, though the storms may come and you may be being beat upon in your life, but you will have a rock that you will not be shaken from. That's what God said that he'll be doing in the times when these cares are raging in our lives. If I go back about 13 months now, these past 13 months, there have been a couple of times that I have just been freaking out. And for those that know me, they know me well, they go like, that is not me. I am not a freak out kind of person. In fact, when those times come, I'm like just kind of, you know, I draw in and get, you know, more focused and steady. These last 13 months, there have been times that just been heartbreaking. They've been frustrating. And I've, honestly, I've just been so angry. And I have been tempted to believe this lie, that God doesn't care. Doesn't care about me, doesn't care about these things, these people that I care about. And the devil will always put in a kicker if he can. I mean, devil come beside you, and this is almost like back in what Bill was talking about last week. You know, you've done your best to serve Jesus and try to build the kingdom of God, and now you've got to deal with this crap in your life. Do you think he really cares? Here's a note. Note that's helped me. To note an insight that I hope really continues to speak to you as well. And that Jesus is the declaration and the living proof that God cares. When you start to wonder, does God care? First of all, remember this, that God so cared that he sent his one and only Son to come and to do for me what I could never do for myself, which was redeem myself, which is to find forgiveness with God. To have a cleansing in my life, Jesus came. He went to the cross. He suffered hell for me. He rose again. If that's all there was, I'd know that he cared. But Jesus goes on, and he says, and I stand before the throne of God now, and I pray for you. I will never, ever leave you or forsake you in your life. Jesus always reminds me of this, that he cares, that God cares. So I got to ask you, are you stuck? Are you maybe believing the lie because you're in an until moment right now? You've got an if that's really kind of hanging you up. Bottom line for us today, front on with this lie, is this, that God cares and he offers grace. Say it once with me. God cares. And he offers us grace. So true. And before we go, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. This is not simply a truth, it's an admonition, it's a challenge. Think of it as Jesus going, so, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to cast your care on him because he cares for you. Care is bigger than just a problem. Care is the thing that can consume you in your life. Your care may not be a cancer, though if you have it, it is. Your care may be, will I ever get married? Will I ever find somebody to love me? Will my marriage ever right itself? Will I ever find a job? Will I ever get out of this stuck place that I am in life? Whatever your care is. God says, that's what I want you to bring to me. That's what I want you to literally just push over to me and let me carry that for you. So I want to read this. Everybody with me, ready? Cast all your care on him because he cares for you. The God of all grace cares for you. Now we're going to read one more time, but we're going to stop right after the word care. And when we get to the word care and pause, I want you to think, is there something in your life right now? This is what is hanging me up. This is what is I'm just focused on. This is what I am obsessing over in my life. This is a care that I'm carrying that God said, I'll take it. And then we'll finish it. Cast all of your care. Now name it. Bring it to God. What is it? That. On him, the God of grace. Let's finish it. Because he cares for you. Today, as you come to Jesus with your cares, maybe to open your life up to him, I hope that you will respond to him with an openness and to find a freedom that only he can give to you. Would you join me in this prayer? Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you showed you cared when you went to the cross and when you rose again for the forgiveness of sins, for the restoring of broken relationship with God, for those that are here today. And for the first time, they're ready to say, Jesus, I believe that you cared. I believe that you did what was necessary for me to have forgiveness. And I want to come to you and ask you for that forgiveness, for that work that you've said that you'll do in a person's life that opens it up to you. I need it and I want it, and as best I know how, I ask you for it today. If that's your prayer, would you unashamedly just lift your hand up and say, God, that's my prayer. That's what I'm praying to Jesus today, to receive him as my Savior. Just lift it up high. Cool. Yes. As we then, Father, take a truth, we're going to act on it. We're bringing our care to you, this particular care, the thing that is just crushing, and giving it to you to help us with. And in the time of suffering, to know that you're at work in our lives and to look for that working in our life, we pray. Thank you that you care for us, that you care for me. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen.